This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Good evening and welcome to the latest Goodwill Wrestling. This is Will, and tonight I'm joined by my good buddy Parv from England. Parv, what's going on?
How you doing, Will? Pleasure.
I'm good, man. I'm excited about tonight, Parv, because anybody who's spent any time at the Pro Wrestling Only message boards knows that you and I don't always see eye to eye on certain wrestlers, okay?
Correct.
And well, we're going to have a peace treaty here. And so what Parv and I did is we said, well, let's look up two matches that highlight some of our favorites. And we'll be able to talk about the matches as they go. Now, full disclosure, I have seen the first match. And the second match, I have seen the matchup before, but I have not seen the actual match we're about to watch. And Parv, have you seen either of these matches we're about to watch?
I have not, Will. I haven't seen either of them. And I'm looking forward to it because four genuine bona fide legends on these matches tonight.
Four legends. Now, let's go up to the first match. The first match is going to be Dick Murdoch versus Pat O'Connor from All Japan from December 15th, 1975. And you can check the YouTube links that we have available on the website at Place to Be Nation, where this page is hosted, or we'll have them also at the Pro Wrestling Only message board, so you can follow along. And Parv and I, we're going to do a little bit of commentary, a little bit of opinion making, a little bit of arguing on these matches. And so that's the first match we're going to watch. And anyone who's heard me over the years knows Dick Murdoch is by far one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. The second match we're going to watch is from Florida. What, 1973, Parv?
Yeah, in fact, it actually happened in 1972, but I think they aired it. They had a full championship wrestling with Florida special on it in 1973. So, 72-73.
Okay. That's going to be a classic Jack Briscoe versus Dory Funk Jr. match. And I'm kind of neutral on Jack Briscoe. I like a lot of his matches. Mm. But he's never blown me away, which, Parv, I know you love Jack Briscoe. But you're also a big fan of Dory Funk Jr., and the footage I've seen from Dory, he's bored me to tears, and I'm happy to watch a Dory match with you. I don't know if I could do it on my own.
Well, I mean, this match we're going to watch tonight isn't just any match, though. This match also has the rep of being the best match of the 1970s that Dave Meltzer always mentions. Like, when you hear people talk about Briscoe versus Dory, they had lots and lots of matches, of course. But I believe this one from the Bayfront Center in Florida is the match type thing, the match of the generation. So I've been saving it for a long time, Will, until I had seen enough Briscoe and enough Dory to fully get both guys independently of each other and then see what they could do against each other. So it's quite a moment for me this evening to see this match.
And you're going to be watching the match with me and whoever follows along. Oh, God bless your heart. So anyway, people, the way this works is once you've clicked on the link, the first match is going to be in three parts. That's the way it's uploaded on YouTube. And you know, as long as you have all three parts, you'll be fine because we'll stop, then we'll count off the three, and we'll play the next part. So there'll be a couple of pauses in this first match, but it's not going to kill the match for you, okay? So I want to put out a full disclaimer on that. And then we'll take a break after this match, listen to some Place to Be Nation commercials, and then we'll come back. And Parv and I are going to watch a Dory Funk Jr. versus Jack Briscoe match for the second half of our co-main event here. So, everybody, hopefully at this point in time, you have found the links, okay? And if you have, click on the link. Make sure that it's on zero. Okay, don't put it on 0.1 or 0.2. No, it needs to be on zero. And at the count of three, we're going to press play. When I say play, that's when you press your button, okay? Parv, are you ready?
I'm ready, sir.
Okay. So the first match, we're watching part one of Dick Murdoch versus Pat O'Connor. And just to make sure, we want to give this guy credit. It was uploaded by a guy named But Jet Lag Came Back. Okay? So if you see But Jet Lag Came Back, you're on the right page. So on the count of three, press play. One, two, three, play. All right. And in the ring, we see Pat O'Connor coming in. He's pretty old. Parv, do you have any idea how old Pat O'Connor is at this point?
He's got to be in his late 40s, coming up to the 50s, I'd imagine. I can do a little check on his age if you'd like.
Okay. And there's Dick Murdoch. Now, Dick Murdoch is probably in his early 30s or mid-20s here. I don't know. But Dick Murdoch has always looked 40.
1924, Pat O'Connor was born. So on the fly math, that makes him 49, I would say.
Wow.
Is that right? Okay. Yeah, 49.
Sure, why not? And Dick Murdoch, probably, you know, like I said, he's probably 25 here, but he still looks 40. Always looked old. Always looked like an old man.
So Pat O'Connor, I know, was booking St. Louis around this time. That's typically what he'd be doing. And he had a reputation, Will, of booking himself as the special guest referee into matches to get a double payday. So he'd do like an undercard match, and then he'd work the main event as
a ref.
There
you go. There you go. Well, Pat O'Connor's a legend. Former world champion. Great wrestler. One of the most exciting wrestlers I watched in his 1950s and 60s footage. And I don't know if Dick Murdoch learned how to punch from Pat O'Connor, but one of the greatest punchers I've ever seen. Maybe we'll see that in this match.
He lost the title to Knitsky, is that right? Or
to Buddy Rogers, wasn't it?
Buddy Rogers? Okay. All right, so they've started out now.
Tie-up. What was that called? The
Elbow and collar tie-up.
Elbow and collar tie-up. And, you know, the problem here, if you're listening with your sound up while you're listening to us, you don't hear the Japanese really go crazy for like, 1970s mat work and limb work. But what I really like here, and this is something I've always said about Dick Murdoch, if you notice, like, anytime he works a limb, whether it's especially the arm, he always makes it look nasty. He always does great stuff like that where he takes a guy down, hooks the arm. He has the guy's head in the head scissors, preventing the arm. Okay, now he's just the regular head scissors. But usually he'll grab the arm and twist it in angles that your arm should not be twisted in.
Yep, we're still working this head scissors here.
There you go. Now, Parv, from what you've seen of Dick Murdoch, what are your initial impressions?
Well, yeah, I mean, I like him. The thing is, he seems to have two different modes to me, Will. He seems to have, like, I'm in Japan and I'm going to be technical, which is what we're seeing here. And then he's got, like, the brawler Dick Murdoch, which is what we see, you know, against DBRC and Mid-South and things like that, you know. They seem to be two, like, slightly different modes. I dig him in both settings, to be honest.
That's weird because he also is able to work great long matches in the States as well. You know, he's a guy who can work a long technical match with, like, Butch Reed, for example.
Yeah, that's true.
And these guys, if you get a chance to find it, Dick Murdoch and Pat O'Connor had a nice bloody brawl probably on the same tour in Japan as well. Like a nice 10-minute bloody brawl between the two. So look at his cowboy boots. He's got these black and yellow cowboy boots on with Murdoch going down the side.
I can see that.
That's Texas for you right there.
They made out of snake skin, do you reckon?
I have no idea. I'm not a cowboy boot connoisseur. I know I'm from Texas, but I have no idea.
Good old Will from Texas.
Good old Will. Who in the hell came up with that? Was that you?
Yeah. Yeah, we just said it.
Are you the one I need to hate for that? Now, Parv, so far, what do you think of this work in and out of the head scissors? I'm kind of liking this, man. Like, O'Connor keeps struggling, trying to get out of the head scissors, and Murdoch keeps finding ways to get him hooked back in. What do you think?
Yeah, it's all right so far. I feel like I have seen this sequence from Murdoch before, though, in different matches. It's, like, it seemed to be a standard go-to for him. But maybe. Yeah, it's still all right. It seems okay. It's a bit exhibition-y to me so far, but let's see what happens here.
Okay, wait.
Okay.
That's almost... Okay. You can't be a fan of, like, Flair or anyone else. I mean, there are tropes. I won't deny that this is kind of a trope. Working out of the head scissors.
Yeah.
Working in the head... Harley Race
that,
does it.
That was a, Rick that was, Flair that was a cool it. Escape and recapture there.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. Like, there are things that Dory Funk, Terry Funk, Jack Briscoe, they all have their tropes. Now, I hope that wasn't a criticism and more of an observation.
Oh, no. I mean, it's not like, you know, you see standard spots all the time. Like, Briscoe does the Greco Roman knuckle lock spot. Doi does a series of backslide escapes and things, which we'll probably see in our next match. So it's not like guys don't have their go-to sequences and things.
We see this almost all the time. If guys know they're going long, they're going to do these work the mat sequences early.
I mean, one of the things they do, Will, is that they pick a hold. It could be a headlock. It could be a head scissors like this. It could be an arm lock, something like this. And they will work a whole sequence around the hold. So it's kind of a lost art. Even by like the mid-80s, I'd say. You don't see guys do that.
The way O'Connor's trying to struggle out of this head scissors right here. Like, he knew that the way he did it earlier, where he did the headstand and hop over, wasn't working. So now he's trying a different path. Now he's going back to the headstand. But for a while there, did you see he was trying to get Murdoch in a pinning combination? Oh, he did it again. Another pinning combination. See, I love work like this. To me, this is genius. Being able to get pinning combinations on the guy who has a hold on you.
And now he's... Oh, yep. Oh, the crowd dug that well. I can hear them.
The crowd is enjoying this work, man. Who says that Japanese fans are just going to be quiet? Wait, I did about 5 minutes ago. Oops.
Did you see the guy hugging his magazine there? Or his program, or whatever it is?
I didn't. I was too busy looking at the intricate mat work on the screen.
Well, they're still in this head scissors. It's been good.
I am kind of pissed off at Murdoch here, though, because he could get better knee pads than that. Those have to be the dirtiest, grayest, most mundane knee pads anyone's ever put on.
Oh, he's finally out. They've gone to this fourth time now. Bulldog into a headlock, straight into the head scissors again. There's the guy with his magazine. Can you see him?
I see him. Yep.
Now, it's like the quintessential 70s Japan fan.
I think the problem O'Connor has here, and I don't know if Murdoch is trying to establish this or not, is he keeps trying to escape by doing the same thing, and I think Murdoch's establishing that if you keep doing the same thing, I'm going to keep hooking you into the head scissors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a very smart strategy on O'Connor's part to keep going back to the well when Murdoch's able to get that head scissors locked on right again.
If I was in the head scissors, I don't know whether I would try to do a headstand to get out of it. Surely must be better ways to get out of that hole than...
I liked the pinning attempts that he did earlier. I thought those were interesting.
Hmm.
You know, what I do like, though, is that, like, if you look at Murdoch now, he's like, well, I'm tired of you getting out with the head scissors. So do you see him putting full pressure on the neck with his arms?
Yeah.
You know, which is a little bit different than earlier where he was letting him pop out. Now he's like, well, now you're stuck. You have to kiss the mat. So in that sense, I really like what Murdoch's doing. And Murdoch is really great at those little touches.
Oh, he's out again, Bulldog. Fifth time.
Okay. So, and the crowd's into it, you know. because and are they booing Murdoch? I think they're booing Murdoch. I think they're upset that Murdoch won't try something else, or that he's keeping O'Connor grounded. I wonder if that's because Murdoch respects O'Connor, or if he's disrespecting him. What would you think?
Well, what they're doing here is they're teasing a story here. They've gone to it five different times. It's almost like, I hate to use a sexual metaphor, Will, but eventually the sequence is going to climax, and we've had several false finishes here already. There he is. This is the escape. This is it.
There he is.
Oh, no. Snapmare. Back into the head scissors.
That was a different variation, because you notice O'Connor didn't try to go for the headlock that time. He was just trying to get out, period. And Murdoch's like, nah, come back here.
You're going to have to think of something else. Because it's also a psychological thing, right? Like, you have to think of a way of getting out of this. And until you do, I'm going to keep on going. There's no reason not to do it, you know?
Now, I'm sure people are going to watch this and be bored to tears. Okay, if you're not a fan of 70s style wrestling, you're not going to like this. However, if you think about it, really, O'Connor is spending a lot of energy trying to get out of these head scissors. And Murdoch, as long as he keeps the head scissors in, he's conserving his energy. What do you think? Ooh, nice pin attempt.
Yeah, no, he's winning the psychological battle at the moment. This is what's happening here.
But he's also winning the physical battle. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I said, O'Connor's the one who's expending the energy.
I've got to the end of the first one now.
So we have gone to the end of the first one. Everybody should go to part two, okay? And just for the record, part two is 10 minutes and 59 seconds. Make sure you're on zero. We're going to count off the same way we did last time, where we go 1, 2, 3, play. And then once I say play, hit the button, okay? Parv, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, play. And so now the match continues. And there, O'Connor breaks the hold, finally. You see that nice, nasty knee dropped on Murdoch's face?
Yep.
And now O'Connor is doing some nice arm work here, some nice arm rolls on the Murdoch.
Isn't this the O'Connor roll that they call it?
No, the O'Connor roll is the pin attempt where he pushes you up against the ropes,
right,
and then flips you backwards and then pins you. That's the O'Connor roll. That was just like a rolling arm bar is what that was.
Rolling arm bar.
Yeah.
I'm not the
now,
best.
Look at this referee. Look at the referee, man. He looks like he's straight out of a 70s bowling alley, doesn't it?
He does.
Like I imagine that somebody in England, America, Japan, that if they were going to the bowling alley, they would all dress like that. Doesn't matter which country you're from.
Is he American, this ref? He doesn't look Japanese to me. So we'll never look at him.
I can't tell. I'm only looking at his belly right now.
He looks American to me.
I like the way Murdoch's trying to get out of this armbar. Look at that. Nice pin attempt counter while in the armbar. How are you digging this mat work so far, Parf?
That's good. O'Connor still got it, you know, in 1975. He's still able to do this stuff. I actually think that this type of wrestling one is a lost art form. Like, I wonder how many guys could do this now who are currently active. What do you reckon? Daniel Bryan, could he do this?
Sure.
Match?
Sure.
I think
the problem is people are afraid of losing the crowd. Or the art is, don't let the crowd dictate what you do. You dictate what the crowd does.
Right.
And I think you're right. I don't think that's a Japanese ref. So they probably pulled that guy out of a bowling alley. I'm just guessing.
You'll probably find out he's some former wrestler or something brought in. There's probably a story.
Probably a world champion, yeah. Man, I like the way Murdoch is getting out of that armbar. I'm really impressed.
Ooh,
nice kip up from O'Connor. 50-year-old kip up. Back to the arm, man.
Tell you,
he's
in fantastic shape for a 50-year-old. You've got to say, haven't you?
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, and I don't know if it's just his body type or the way he's wrestling. It feels like he's like wrestling like with a British movement. I'm not saying he's British or what he's doing are British holds, but it just feels British to me. You know, the way he's working. Look at the way he's like adjusting his arm. He has the leg hooked over the arm, so there's no way Murdoch can escape. I really think that's a beautiful arm hold. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, and of course, O'Connor was, isn't he from New Zealand or something? So he has kind of more of a international, maybe worked in Britain for some time.
There you go. Yeah, it's possible. I don't know. For full disclosure, people, I know a lot about wrestling history. I am not a wrestling historian by any means. I'm the wrong guy to talk to about where guys are from. I only know Dick Murdoch's from Texas because, well, I'm from Texas, and Texas is all that matters. Just saying. Now, true story, Parv. Dick Murdoch is a guy I did not enjoy watching as a child. When I was a kid watching NWA and Mid-South TV, I thought Dick Murdoch had these chicken legs, this big old pot belly, and I could not understand him going toe-to-toe with, like, the best wrestlers of the day. I just thought he was out of his league, but now I realize I was completely wrong, and that's why children should not be able to evaluate wrestling.
Do you think there should be an age limit on the Greatest Wrestler Ever project?
I don't know, man. I don't think so, because people's own experiences are their own. Some people have been watching wrestling for 20 years and they've only watched WWF because that's what they enjoy. I can't fault them for that, but their view is limited. There are some people who don't get lucha and they refuse to rank lucha wrestlers. I can't, you know. I don't agree with those people. I can't tell them not to be a part of the project, you know. Oh, wait, yeah, I guess I do have somebody in mind. Oh, wait, Parv!
There has been some lucha. Maybe I've over-egged the extent to which I've...
Well, one thing I really like about the way they're working this arm is Murdoch is fighting. I love the way where it was almost... I love calling it a chess match. Look at how he has his cowboy boot on O'Connor's boot, and he's using his other arm to leverage O'Connor's foot off of his arm so he can escape the hold.
See,
I love it. It's just so the little details are what's
this is
so
what
awesome
confuses me about you, though. Well, how can you dig this and not dig Dory, the ultimate chess man?
I don't think that he is. I think that Murdoch doesn't nearly rest in the holds as long as Dory does, ever. Plus, you can't say that Dick Murdoch doesn't have great facial expressions. If you say that, you know, you can say Dory's stoic or whatever, but I think he's just boring, whereas Murdoch, like, look at Murdoch's face right there. Like, he looks like he's in pain. Like, he just fought out of a nasty, nasty arm hold. And now, look, he escapes, he keeps hold of the boot, and now he's got O'Connor pinned to the mat, twisting on that leg. To me, that's just genius.
We've had 16 minutes here, and there's been not a single high spot so far.
Well, does that hurt the match for you?
No, I'm just pointing out there's been no high spots in 16 minutes. You know, that's interesting.
Here's what I would argue. I would argue that O'Connor's knee to Murdoch's face is a high spot.
Okay.
I would argue that Murdoch escaping the hold the way he did with the precision he did, you know, like I said, putting that boot on the foot. Did you see him try and go back for the head scissors, realizing like, hey, it's
went back happened. Arm drag, and then he said no.
Yeah. This is like, no, you're not going to get me with that arm again, old man. And you can kind of tell what Dick Murdoch is feeling during the match. I'm sorry, maybe we'll see a more enlightened Dory in 1973 at the next match. But with Murdoch, you know how he's feeling every part of the match. And now I think if this is any indication, we're going to see that great Dick Murdoch arm work that I love. Well, this is another staple of Murdoch, just twisting guys, holding that arm. Do you see how he had the knee, just rubbing the knee in O'Connor's back before he hooked him into this stretch move here?
Yeah, this is a modified hammerlock, I would say. It's got the hammerlock, kind of, and now he's hooking the arm as well.
Where, for modern fans, it's almost like he's trying to hook in a Rings of Saturn. And now, there he goes, puts that knee right into the arm.
Do they still do the hammerlock in modern WWE, Will?
Occasionally. Not often.
Yeah, I want to say I saw Daniel Bryan and Loki have a match like this at some point, where they did a lot of kind of mat work, basically.
Daniel Bryan is known to do lots of mat work, and when work moves, and if there's what better way to learn that stuff than to learn from Dick Murdoch? Look at how he's rolling his knee across O'Connor's arm there. And then he drops a big knee drop on the arm. Did that look like that was a pleasant experience, having the full weight of his knee come down on that arm right there, Parv?
Yeah, it was a pretty vicious knee drop.
You know, and this is what I kind of love about guys like Murdoch. Steven Regal is another one. It just feels like every digit, every limb matters.
Ooh, like they know that was a cool spot. That was cool.
That was great. It looked like he was going to go for that headlock again. Instead, he gets like a step over a toe hold type thing. And now he's got him. Single leg takedown. I don't know, but this right here looks like he's like if he were to hook on the head, like he's got the first part of the STF. So he's got the step over toe hold part. He just doesn't have the face lock connected. And now Murdoch is trying to escape by hooking him in a headlock. That was a really great escape by Murdoch.
Oh, we might get a shin breaker here. Nope.
Oh, there you go. Patented Murdoch punch. Of course, made sure the referee didn't see it. Again. Punches. Where do punches rank on what you value in wrestling, Parv?
I love a good punch, Will. Love a good punch. You know, it's part of, I think a guy has to have more than just a punch, though. Ideally. Whereas I know that you
have anybody in mind?
No, nobody in mind. But I just would like to see more than, you know, like you've got to be able to do more than just punching, ideally.
Well, let me ask you, if this match is nothing but mat work and punches, would you be upset?
I like mat work to lead somewhere, well, basically. I like it to build to a crescendo, you know. So I tend to, unless the kind of mat work is world class, I like it to. So ideally, we're just getting to this third section now. I want this third section to build to some real high spots.
Okay, so you feel you need the high spots to.
I feel like it needs to build to something, yeah. So
okay.
I want to see a couple of suplexes, ideally, in this.
I'm not that way. I don't think you need the high spot to pay a match off, especially when we're about to start part three of this match. Especially when both guys have shown the wear and tear of the work that's been done. And I think this last leg, we'll see if any of them at least capitalize on. I don't care if they do a suplex or a body slam, but I want to see if that wear and tear leads to a successful pin or submission from one of the guys. So let's go to part three, and part three is 8:29. Is that what you have on yours, Parf?
Absolutely. Sure, yep. 8:29.
So everybody who's following us here, part three, 8:29. When I say play, y'all hit the button. 1, 2, 3, play. Okay, and now it looks like they're getting into more of a fisticuff section here, where O'Connor was tired of those punches from early on, and now he's popping Murdoch. And
yeah, so that's what I want to see, Will, typically, is mat work transitioning to strikes, transitioning to throws.
What about that? What about like when Murdoch misses his punch and punches the turnbuckle?
Well, the crowd pops.
Kind of did a little shadow box there.
They laughed at that. They thought that was funny. The little they thought that was a comedy spot for some reason. Did you notice that with Japanese crowds sometimes, Will, that they laugh at weird times?
Has to be a cultural thing.
Yeah. Have you ever noticed that though? They're laughing their asses off doing this. They think it's really funny for some reason. Crisscross now.
But it doesn't look like they're being comedy wrestlers. Like Murdoch's reaction there did, where he covered up his face. Well, but logically, that's the smart thing to do when you think you're about to be punched while you're running at somebody.
He's doing a little bit of semi-stooging here, I would say. A tiny bit of stooging. That was.
Sure, well, I don't mind stooging.
That was a neat knee lift.
So you go from Sammy Stooge to nasty knee lift, nasty elbow spike, and then he misses the elbow drop on the mat.
That got a laugh out of the crowd as well.
You know, but does that, like, is if that played in front of an American crowd, I don't think the American crowd would have laughed. No. You know what I mean?
Something's tickled them here. I don't know what it is.
I think maybe since the guy invested, the guy maybe, I don't know. Here we go. But the thing is too, if you want to play off the earlier attempts at a headlock by O'Connor is now finally able to hook the headlock in without Murdoch doing the head scissor counter.
Yeah, well, that's been his plan for the past 20 minutes, is to get his headlock on, and he's finally got it on. But I like that little bit of violence that we got there. The match had built to this moment where we got a bit more than just mat work. So that pleased me well.
Okay, good. Even though the crowd laughed, but, you know. I don't know. I can see where you would think it was funny, but it didn't seem like Murdoch was trying to be funny. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah. I've seen Murdoch do kind of comedy before. So.
Oh, Murdoch's one of the best comedic wrestlers ever. But that wasn't the spot. You know what I mean? Like, but if they laugh at it, okay, what do I know? But, you know, we've also seen some oohs and ahs. I like Murdoch right there escaping. And do you see his little expression on his face? Like, Christ, old man, just stay down, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I talk about. Facial expressions have adding value to a match. You know, if you're stoic all the time, you know, like right there, he's selling that punch from earlier. His jaw's hurting. He's trying to get the referee to say, look, you know, this guy's not playing legit, even though Murdoch had tried to break O'Connor's jaw earlier in the match. Is that a good enough high spot? The 1970s swinging net breaker?
Swinging net breaker. Excellent. And that makes perfect sense, of course, because he's been working the neck with the head scissors earlier on. This is a bit of amateur stuff now from O'Connor, trying to go in from behind.
So would you call this comedy right here?
That was a bit of a... Yeah, yeah. He headbutted him in the nose, in the head.
And that was pretty nasty. Like I said, in America, that's going to get cheers. That's not going to get laughs, this headbutt.
Well, they're doing this kind of dog thing, this kind of head-to-head thing. And Murdoch has gone outside.
See, I can see why somebody would think that that's comedy. I don't know, man. It seems logical to me. You know what I mean? Yeah, the work seems logical.
This crowd is strange, to be honest. This is Atomic Drop now. And he hurt his own knee doing that, I think, O'Connor.
Yeah. Well, you know, Murdoch was working that leg a little bit earlier, too. Remember when he escaped the arm lock?
Yep.
Oh, there you go. Just he escapes. He's tired of O'Connor, you know, escaping, so he just punches him in the face to set up a pin. It almost feels like both men came in with an exhibition style match, and now things are getting testy. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess this can only work if you adhere to the rules all the time. And so when things get more scrappy,
right?
You know, it kind of feels like something special is happening. You know.
Yeah, I agree. Where if you disqualify somebody for punching you in the face, or if you, you know, if you're used to, like, because, you know, I've seen a lot of 70s matches where you get a guys rolling around doing a lot of mat work, and one of them will get a flash pin, you know, no high spots, no big suplexes or drop kicks, just they get that flash pin, and, you know, that's the art of wrestling, right? Or
so now we're going to see a suplex here, I think. Well,
at least an attempt.
Oh. That is what they call was it a chancery, I believe they call it, Will.
Yeah, front chancery neck lock, the takeover.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but you can tell the frustration on both guys, you know, getting these counters on.
Ooh, kip up by...
That right there, corner. Sir, is the O'Connor roll.
But it was... he didn't get it.
No, but that is the O'Connor roll. That you know, where you push a guy up against the ropes, force them back, and then in a pinning position. That's the O'Connor roll.
Doesn't Bret Hart do that move a lot? Inside cradle.
That was the slowest inside cradle I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it was pretty slow.
that was pretty quite, slow.
Quite awkward.
There you go.
Punch love the face.
Love the seat more. Oh, punch
him right in the gut.
Oh, dude.
Ooh. Did that tooth that come out? Ooh.
Yeah. Did I tell you that? I told you at the beginning that Pat O'Connor could punch. Did I or did I not?
That was a hell of an uppercut. Oh.
I'm telling you, this is Murdoch. I mean, if you want to say that those were Murdoch comedy spots, I'll give it to you, but he's great at it. If you want to say he's good at working arm work, he's great at it. Great punches.
To count. And
what's that roll called? Like that, where you roll a guy across your belly to put him in a pin, like if he would have hopped up on his shoulders, it would have been
That was a kick out as well.
So, yeah, now they're going into the would you want to call it the false finish section where they're trying to
stretch.
Yeah. Oh, he punched him right in front of the ref. Oh, a body slam from big old Pat O'Connor.
Almost a scooped power slam, one might say. Foot on the ropes.
Love that, man, when somebody gets their foot on the ropes to save a pin. Like, it's so smart. You save energy. But you risk not seeing the referee see it. So as
I've been watching Harley race matches, and you'll see that spot a hell of a lot with Harley.
A 30-minute draw.
It's going to be a 30-minute draw.
And so what did you think of this, man? What did you think of Pat O'Connor and Dick Murdoch rolling around and punching each other and countering with moves?
Good solid match, Will. I'd probably give her about 3.5 stars. I thought it built well towards the finish. I have to say, I thought the first 15 minutes or so, even though there was some neat counter wrestling, a little bit dull at times, I think Murdoch actually could have done more when he was working the holds. I thought O'Connor was doing quite a lot, you know, trying to do the escapes and things, and he was keeping those sections interesting. I did feel at times that Murdoch was just sitting there in that head scissors, you know.
I agree with you in one sense, but the other sense, as I mentioned earlier, to me, as long I've seen segments with Dory Funk, in fact, with his brother Terry, where both guys just lay there. I've seen segments with Nick Bockwinkel and Jumbo Tsuruta, one of the best wrestlers ever, where they just lay there. Seen the same with Harley Race. If one of the guys is moving, I'm okay with it. Like, I don't mind Murdoch conserving his energy when Pat O'Connor is the one who's trying to exert all that energy to get out. However, when he kept getting out, if you noticed, then Murdoch started, like I said earlier, started putting the pressure on the neck, started to try to counter O'Connor's things. In the meantime, he's wearing O'Connor out. Same thing, if you want to look at the arm lock from O'Connor, you know, after he did a couple of flips, you could argue that O'Connor was just laying there in the arm lock and Murdoch was doing the work. Well, if you're the guy caught in the hold, you're supposed to be the guy
Well,
moving.
I mean,
so as long as one of the guys are moving, I'm perfectly okay with it.
But this is one of the things, and I'm hoping that I'm going to be proved. You know, I'm hoping that we're going to see it in this Dory Briscoe match that we have coming in the second half. But one of the things that Jack Briscoe does really well is that when he is the guy in a hold, you can tell that guy is in pain, and you can really tell. Rick Martel is another guy who's really good at that.
What about when Murdoch was working over the arm in like the second stanza of the match?
They sold some pain, but it wasn't like, I mean, and this could be a kind of taste preference thing. Some people may say that Jack Briscoe is way over the top with the way that he does it, but he like waved his arms. You could like he signifies a hell of a lot of pain type thing, and he keeps it absolutely interesting. Rick Martel does the same later on. I didn't quite get that level from these two guys.
No. I thought you meant like when they're working the holds.
No.
You're talking about the selling.
I'm talking about the selling and receiving the hold. In terms of working the holds, you talk about Nick Bockwinkel. At his best, and like the Billy Robinson match is the one I always would point to, but he does it in the Kurt Hennig one as well. Nick Bockwinkel will do little things when he's working a hold, like he'll be working a limb and he'll also be punching the limb as well. I love that when guys do that.
What about when Dick Murdoch had the arm hooked and he's rubbing his knee across the guy's arm before he drops the knee drop? Working the arm.
Yeah, it was neat, but I just felt that it was kind of like a little bit too subdued or a little bit too subtle, you might say. Like I kind of like
You like more over the top.
I kind of like big wrestling, you know, like if you ever see like Pat.
See, I like, okay, and this is something that you and I are just going to have to agree to disagree on. I like subtleties in my wrestling matches. I like the hidden gems in moments where if you're just looking at the screen, you don't notice, but if you're looking at a point on the screen, you notice. And I think that's the difference between what you and I are expecting out of our wrestling matches.
Yeah, well, I mean, Dory is an interesting case, and I'm very interested to see what's going to happen in this.
I am too. And like I said, full disclosure, I've seen good Dory Funk Jr. matches. to me, my problem is it doesn't outweigh the bad Dory that I've seen. That's my issue. So we're going to have plenty of time to talk Dory Funk and Jack Briscoe, yeah, and Nick Bockwinkel and every other 70s wrestler in between.
Do you give star ratings, Will, before we go into this break?
I don't give star ratings because what if I watch this match 6 months from now and hate it? Right, I believe star ratings tend to be static when I believe they should be fluid. You see where I'm going? Now, from what I've seen you give 4 stars to and above, I would say that you're underrating this match. Okay? Like, to me, that was a very, very easy 30 minutes to get through. I mean, like, outrageously so. But it's not the best that I've seen from either man. So I will give you that. However, I thought everything Murdoch did was admirable. Granted, the small package was really slow. That felt like you don't want to do a fast small package because you might hurt the 50-year-old man type deal. But I would rate it higher than you did. I praise it more. But like I said, you want more bombast in your wrestling. I like the subtle nature of the match itself, and I really enjoyed all the little flourishes that they did in each section, whether it was the kind of brawling section, the early work, the escapes throughout, the false finish section at the end. I really enjoyed for what it was. So I think I enjoyed this match more than you did, but at the same time, like I said, you and I just look for different things. So let's see if Dory can do it with Jack Briscoe in our second match of the night. And when we come back, we'll check that match out from Florida. In the meantime, you're listening to the Place to Be Nation.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope. Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes and PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out myself and Scott Criscolo on The Mothership, The Place to Be Podcast, home of great interviews and our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you there, including Main Events, which features a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, including immediate feedback and discussion for WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, and New Japan Super Shows, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on the positives of the business. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast, Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave's Wrestling Culture podcast, our monthly pay-per-view rewind roundtable series led by Ben Morse, and the Dangerous Alliance podcast starring myself and Pro Wrestling Only's Will, diving into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We feature The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, The Kings of Sport featuring Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, The Sports Lounge hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Sr., as well as the NBA Team Podcast, which takes a year-round deep dive into pro hoops. PTBN also proudly features Richard and the Mailman podcast, which specializes in the world of TV, thought leadership, anger, and irreverence. As mentioned, all of these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN is also home to the tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats, RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net.
Do you watch pro wrestling? Do you love pro wrestling? We do too. And there's only one podcast feed that you can't miss.
PWO PTBN Podcast Network. That's the pro wrestling only Place to Be Nation Podcast Network.
We have a host of brilliant shows dedicated to wrestling past and present.
Whether it's the territories, Japan, Lucha, old school or new school, we've got something for you.
Get a dose of history on Exile on Bad Street with Chris Zellner.
Listen to reviews of current pay-per-views on the PTBN reaction shows. Not just WWE, but New Japan, Ring of Honor, and NXT. And get your weekly update on everything else that's going on in the indies, Lucha, and beyond on This Week in Wrestling.
Relive WCW Supercards on Where the Big Boys Play with Parv and Chad.
Join Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave on one of the very best shows for super hardcore nerds, Wrestling Culture.
Go deep into WWF history and discover the Bob Backlund and Bruno Sammartino eras on Titans of Wrestling.
Don't miss the Pro Wrestling Super Show with Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston.
You can get the full archive of Good Will Wrestling with Good Ol' Will from Texas.
There's Tag Teams back again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze.
Then there's the only pro wrestling game show, Brain Buster, with me, Johnny Sorrow, and a panel of great guests every time.
Get them all on one feed.
PWO PTBN Podcast Network.
You know you want to hear it.
Okay, welcome back, Place to Be Nation. This is Will, and I'm joined by Parv, and we're doing a little live wrestling viewing from YouTube. And Parv, we just finished talking about Murdoch versus O'Connor, and now we're about to watch Dory Funk Jr. versus Jack Briscoe from 1972. Woo-hoo. And this is supposedly a famous match, and full disclosure, I am not a Dory Funk Jr. fan. Not saying I've never seen good Dory Funk matches, just not a guy that I go searching for. It's going to be interesting for me because I'm going to watch this match with you by my side here, Parv, and it'll be interesting to see if we come to the same conclusions or not. So everybody who's listening, make sure you're on the right link. It says Dory versus Jack 72, uploaded by one Jerry Von K, whoever that is. And we'll start, and just make sure you got the right match. It's 41 minutes and 41 seconds, and we're all starting at zero. Parv, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, when I say play, everybody push that button. One, two, three, play. All right, and Jack Briscoe looking young and lean here, man.
Oh, yeah. They're in Florida. Gordon Solie is the commentator, and... Jack, of course. Oh, look at that. Produced by Eddie Graham. And of course, Jack Briscoe was Eddie Graham's boy. You know, they really loved Jack Briscoe when he was a youngster, because you know he was a amateur champion. Will,
yeah,
and you know, there were big marks for that, those old guys.
Oh yes. And, well, did you see the excitement in Dory Funk when he raised his hands?
Well, he's the NWA.
And you knew he was from Texas because he had on the tassels on his jacket and a Lone Star.
Well, we've got a clip now. Look at Gordon Solie's slick back hair. Look at Eddie Graham's slick back hair. Look at these two dudes here.
These guys are not dressed for the bowling alley. That is for sure.
Now, I've always thought, tell me what you think here, that if I was casting a movie, I'd cast Marlon Brando as Eddie Graham. What do you reckon about that?
Easy. Already done. You're right. Absolutely.
Doesn't he look like him?
In fact, he looks a spinning image of Marlon Brando right there.
Yeah.
Like, that really might as well be Marlon Brando talking to me right now.
Of course, Dory Funk Jr. was the NWA champion going into this match. They had Dory vs. Jack around the horn, Will. And it was a very high-drawing feud across all the different territories. Yep.
Do you think Gordon Solie is drunk at this point in time?
Oh, well, I'd say there's about a 50-50 chance, but he's looking all right. He looks okay. Have you ever noticed there's a difference between Gordon in Florida and Gordon in Georgia? Have you ever made that distinction?
I don't know if I've seen enough Florida to judge.
He's a bit more kind of like serious in Florida, if that makes any sense. More kind of like everything straight down the line. Whereas in Georgia, because it's all in the studio, he's a lot more kind of you know that angle, the DiBiase angle, Will, that you like, that gave you such terrors as a child?
Yeah, the Freebirds angle.
Yeah, like him doing that kind of deal where he was right there in the mix and, you know, going nuts about the stretcher and stuff. Unimaginable in the Florida setting. Because it's always here, like in the studio, in suits, and, you know,
right.
It's a lot more kind of removed from the action, if that makes any sense.
No, it makes perfect sense.
So,
Jack, do you think that they think Jack Briscoe is a big hippie here with his long hair?
Well, he was a big hit with the ladies, I know that much.
There you go.
And, he looks properly 70s here, doesn't he?
Oh, no doubt. And who's that next to him? Is that Dory Funk Sr.?
I don't actually know who this is.
Looks like a Funk, right?
It's not, I don't think it's Dory Sr.
But he's probably dead by now, right? And here we are, joined in progress, and Funk has that spin and toe hold, which was immediately countered by Briscoe, and Funk escapes the figure four leg lock.
So he's bailed.
Right away. So we don't know how much time has been...
We're being joined in progress, and it seems that this was a Florida deal. They'd always do this. They've probably got Jack Briscoe talking all through this match. He's going to tell you about his tactics and all that. All the way through it. And that's what I mean. It's a bit removed from the action, because they never call these matches live. It's always like after the fact, you know?
Right. Well, what we can call it live. That's why we watch it, so we can watch it ourselves.
Elbow and collar tie-up.
Yeah, here we go, into a headlock.
Headlock.
So, very 70-ish, right? Actually, very 70-ish, 80-ish, you know. This is something that usually happens. Now look, right here, okay, he turns into the headlock.
So, do you see him cranking the headlock there?
He is, but like he cranks every like 10 seconds or 5 seconds. You know what I mean?
Another crank. Here we go.
He's doing the backland crank where he speeds up the cranks. Okay.
Yeah, excellent. This is what I mean, though. This is a bigger performance than we saw in the Murdoch Patterson, because Briscoe plays to Rose Ed.
Hold on. You cannot say that 12 seconds into the match.
No, what I'm saying is that the way he's working this headlock is bigger than the way that you saw Pat O'Connor work the headlock, because he's playing to like the guy in the right at the back there, just in the way that he's doing those cranks, you know.
That was a nice pin by Dory.
This is a bridge by Dory.
There you go.
And now they're into a headlock on the mat.
So, So okay, so now they're work. He's got the headlock in, but he's not playing to the cheap sheets. He's just sitting there. Wait, okay. Dory is now putting his forearm above Briscoe's head to leverage back. And to me, that looks like a pin. I don't know why the ref is not pinning him.
Now he's got his knee in his cheek. That's nasty. Yeah, that's nice. Look at that nasty move.
I'm surprised you didn't notice little stuff like that in the Murdoch match. But with Doherty, you noticed everything. Huh, interesting.
Come on now, Will. So they're going to work this headlock for a while.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I'm sure. And maybe this actually... This is fine headlock work here, too. This is not like anything to sneeze at.
What's interesting so far? And there he is.
Why do you not? Hold on. Let me ask a question. Why do you not like it when Backlund does the exaggerated head cranks, but it's okay for Briscoe to do it?
I do like it when Backlund does the exaggerated head cranks. That's not the aspect of his work I dislike.
Well, which part of the work do you not like?
Well, you see, if you listen to Titans, you know, Will. Yeah.
You know, I'm on a Johnny Sorrow ban right now. I can't do.
Well, Oh, look, we're going to get a shinbreaker straight away here from Dory.
Yeah, I like that.
Shinbreaker by Dory as an escape out of the headlock.
He's going to set up the step-over toehold.
Well, he's already looking to work the spinning toehold, you know. Anyway, with Backlund, Will, I don't like the fact that he guzzles opponents, takes 95% of matches, and doesn't show enough vulnerability for me. Which is one of the reasons I think Jack Briscoe is one of the all-time great babyfaces. It's because he's so good at selling, you know. Whereas Backlund, for me, doesn't... Oh, look. Do you see that? A forearm to the knee there. Whereas Jack is still... Look at this headlock work here.
Yeah, see, I'm just going to tell you that, like, that's one of the things I don't like about Backlund either.
Headlock takeover.
And I don't like it about... I don't like those... like headlocks that completely let go of the headlock, and Backlund does it too. It is actually one of the things I criticize Backlund, like where they let go of the headlock, and then they, you know, to me that's a little over exaggerated. It's not subtle enough, and it doesn't make sense. I don't like when Backlund does it. I accept it, and I accept it here, but it's not something I enjoy.
So look at this. We've seen several different attempts.
Now this. Look at this. Hold on. Wait.
Right.
Look at what he's doing here. Well, ooh. Now that before. But did you see how he was grinding the head?
Yep.
That was much better than those exaggerated movements where he completely lets go of the headlock.
Well, I was just going to say, we've seen... So that was a turnbuckle shot by Dory. He's used a shin breaker, and he'd used a block shot to the knee. Those are three different escape varieties he tried to get out, and now a back suplex. So,
yes.
You know, a lot more variety than the opening 10 minutes of that O'Connor match.
Well, hold on. Now, to be fair, we don't know how much time has expired in this. We don't.
No, that's true.
It's clipped.
There's a stomp. You know,
and they have the benefit of clipping out the builds, you know? So, when we see a complete match... And we have, and you know, if you watch these two in Japan, we have a complete match of them that goes an hour. It's not as exciting. This is good stuff so far, but good with the benefit of being clipped.
Well, we have an armbar by Dory now, and look at this bit of work they've got here. They've superimposed solely Briscoe.
Dude, that's cutting edge technology, right?
It's our show, a mystery theater.
Dude, that's probably... You think that's Buddy Rogers?
I think it is Buddy Rogers. No. He's too fat. Too fat to be Buddy Rogers.
Sure?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He looks a bit like Arnold Scarlin to me, but it's not Arnold Scarlin.
I'm the worst guy to like identify that kind
could be,
of thing.
It could be that coach John Heath that used to love talking over Florida. I think it's probably coach John Heath. Look, some neat forearms by Jack Briscoe here to Dory's head. You digging this, Will? You look like those forearms?
Yeah, I like it. I like it so far. I like it. You know, I'm looking at, you know, to me, this arm work is solid. This is not as good as what Murdoch was doing earlier, though. Digging the knee in the back and on the arm. This is just the basic arm lock here, which is fine. It's fine. But this is not as good as the arm work that Dick Murdoch was doing earlier. And I don't think you can even argue it is.
Well, he's got his hand around the chin here.
Where?
Well, he did have it.
Oh, yeah.
But now Briscoe's got his.
Let's see how Briscoe gets out of the arm lock. But the arm work by Murdoch was much more interesting. But you know, hey, that was a nasty forearm, as nasty as any punch thrown in the Murdoch match. See, but you're always going to get bonus points if you stick with limb work for me. And so I'm digging what I'm seeing so far. This feels much more entertaining. And maybe it's just because I have you to talk to. Feels much more entertaining than the stuff from the
Look at these forearms here.
That whip punch.
We haven't seen any uppercuts from Dory yet. Wait till he gets those uppercuts. Dory's bailed. And it's pretty clear that Dory is the heel NWA champion here against the hometown hero, Jack Briscoe, in Florida.
But he can't be the hometown hero because they're not in Oklahoma.
Well, basically, Briscoe is a Florida guy, you know, so he was seen as being a Florida guy.
I like this match, but the clipping hurts it only in the sense that we don't know everything that came before.
So there's a couple of little things. I can confirm it was it is Coach John Heath who's sitting there with them. And also there was a no DQ stip on this match, so we couldn't get any cheap finishes because you know they'd gone around the horn and had a lot of cheap finishes.
Right.
Look at these European uppercuts by Dory here. It's one of what he's famous for.
I would prefer a Murdoch punch.
Butterfly. Backslide.
I like the Steve Regal European uppercuts, too.
I think it's one of the best things that Dory does, those uppercuts. He can hit, when he hits them, he really hits them, you know? Back to the headlock by Jack Briscoe.
He's snug.
So apparently...
Are you counting the seconds that they're just laying here?
Well, hold on, Will. I feel like you're using any opportunity to be critical. They've literally just gone from a backslide into. I mean, there's been a lot more action in this match so far than the last one. And look, you see how he's leaning in with his body weight there. He's leaning over into the pin. And Dory.
Now they're starting to work it. That is absolutely true. Yeah, I am being critical. I just feel like things that you were critical of in the Murdoch match, you're letting slide here. That's all I'm saying.
I wouldn't let that match anchor what you're seeing here, is what I'm saying.
You wouldn't what? Repeat that?
I wouldn't let that match anchor what you're seeing. There's a psychological concept known as anchoring, and I don't think we should do that. I think we should let each match speak for itself.
Okay. I'm fine with that. But the only problem is, and I'm going to have to argue with you on that point just because that's what I do. I argue with people. You can't help but compare stuff you've seen. If we were to do that, we would have had to watch these matches at completely different times. You know what I mean? It's natural to compare it to something you saw before. Dude, this is perfectly fine. You know, I don't think this is great headlock work. But then again, I didn't think O'Connor did like great headlock work either. You know? So to me, I think there is a natural comparison here. But having said that, you know, I mean, dude, it's the 1970s. I expect this shit. You know what I mean? This has been fun so far, dude. This is nothing I'm going to criticize. You know, I just like taking the piss out of you every once in a while.
Well, look, they're back up to a vertical base now. And if you've noticed, Will, they haven't really stayed in one spot for too long. This match is, you know, sunset flip.
Would you argue that because it's a championship match, it is a match in front of the home crowd, and it's a kind of a match that's been built up through a feud, that the stakes are different in this match as well?
Absolutely, yeah. This is obviously like a big main event, this match. The other thing is, I've seen a lot of Jack Briscoe matches, a lot of Dory matches. Dory tends to work from on top, and Briscoe tends to work from underneath. I would say, in your typical Jack Briscoe match, you'll give the opponent about 80% of the match, and will be selling. What's been interesting in this match is that Briscoe's control so far. Would you agree with that? He's been the aggressor.
Yeah.
And Dory's been on the back foot. So that's an interesting wrinkle. It's not actually how I'd have imagined them working this so far. And that could be...
I can see that.
It could be because Dory's the champ, and the NWA champ tends to work on the back foot. But let's see what happens if we get a transition.
What do you think about these, the test of strength spots?
It's not my favorite. I mean, they call it the... it's not my favorite spot. This is actually the standard Dory spot that he goes to quite a bit. The test of strength into this kind of bridging sequence.
The bridging pins, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with them. I'm fine with them. I don't mind them at all. You know, that's a nice Dick Murdoch-like leg drop on the arm. Let's see if he can keep up the arm work a la Dick Murdoch.
Have you seen
now, the... remember when Dory fell out of the ring earlier after they kind of...
Yeah.
Almost just like what happened in the Murdoch match earlier. But yet the Japanese crowd laughed. You know what I mean? I wonder if they do that in Japan, if they laugh at Dory and Jack too.
Well, we've got a body scissors here, which was a neat counter by Jack Briscoe. Dory's trying to bridge out to the body scissors.
Yeah, he has to make sure his shoulders aren't on the mat.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I don't actually understand it when those Japanese crowds laugh a lot of the time. Like, often it isn't that funny stuff. Do you know what I mean? It's like they get something in the air.
I think if it's an exhibition match, you know, I guess that's what they do. I don't know. I mean, what do you think of this body scissors work here?
It's been all right. The body scissors sequence is not my favorite, to be honest. But, you know, let's see what happens here. Because it's kind of organic, you know. We don't know where this is going. But Dory's stood up now, and he's...
Oh, man. That was a nice little counter there. He punches Jack Briscoe in the stomach, and then he flips Briscoe over into a very high Boston Crab. And when I say that, I'm saying that Dory is not bending his knees.
More like a Walls of Jericho or something like that.
Well, Walls of Jericho would have a knee in the back and have the head pushed to the ground. It's like he started the Boston Crab. He just didn't he didn't hook it where, you know, it damages the back. But Briscoe's selling the back, so kudos to him. Like, but the Walls of Jericho is nasty looking. That's where the guy's torso and neck is completely bent while the face is squashed on the mat, you know. That was not a Walls of Jericho. It just didn't have the torque or the nastiness to it. But this is fine. I mean, you could tell Briscoe's still selling the effects of the Boston Crab, and then he did a nice little escape in the corner.
Body slam.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine here, man. I'm enjoying this match, so don't get me wrong. If I'm critical, like I said, Parv, I'm just taking the piss out of you. But there are things, you know, that I find are tropes. Remember, we talked about tropes, you know? Like, I'm sure they worked that body scissor spot 30 times already.
Ooh,
you know?
We got,
I think that they...
arm wrench and...
They've probably worked that headlock
spot. These two had hundreds of matches, so... But, like, that's how you build up chemistry, you know? That's where Steamboat Flair came from, is working together so many times. Snapmare.
Did you put this on the level of Steamboat Flair?
Into a chin lock. Well, let's finish the match first. Obviously, it's a different time.
Yeah,
so
that's fair. Yeah. I guess because I have no emotional connection to either of these guys, I'm not as invested in the match either. I like what they're doing, but, you know... I got to have an emotional connection. You got to connect to the person.
I think Jack Briscoe is as good a wrestler as Steamboat or Flair. I would say that much.
I like Jack Briscoe. I even liked his heel work, you know, when he was doing the tag team stuff in the 80s. And I liked him against Murdoch. I thought him and Murdoch
Have you ever seen the match where Dory and Murdoch tag with each other in Japan?
Maybe, maybe not. I'd have to see it to remember it. I mean, we've seen as many matches as I have. You forget more matches than you remember.
That's a neat little match. It goes about a half hour.
So now, hold on. So now we're in a hammerlock spot.
Yep.
You know, so this is interesting. Because they faded and they were doing another spot, and now Jack is working the arm of Dory. What do you think?
Well, yeah, let's see where they go with this arm work. What are the interesting things of this match?
Let me ask you this: have the clips hurt it at all? Do you think they break up the flow?
They have a little bit, yeah. I guess they were going to commercial break, were they? But when we come back, the match is in a different place.
Yeah, and that happens a lot. And that, you know, it happens to some of my favorite matches, happens to some of my favorite Lawler matches, happens to a lot of Flair matches.
Butterfly suplex there by Briscoe.
Yeah, that was nice.
Look, Dory selling it. He's selling it. Ooh, and an elbow drop.
I don't think Dory was expecting that elbow drop.
And he sold that too. And another elbow drop.
Come on, Dory.
Ooh. Hey. double stomp. Wow.
I kind of like that this isn't in very good video quality, because, like, you can't fault Dory for having no expression on his face.
He's better in grainy video.
He's better in grainy video. There you go. And I will say, a nice small package.
Small package.
And, there you go. So Briscoe has those nice...
He's going to go for this Boston Crab now.
So let's see if he actually sits down. Now, okay, he's sitting down. That's how you do a Boston Crab.
Yeah.
You got to... That looks much better than Dory.
I've seen Dory do that high Boston Crab before.
Not a fan of it.
But do you see how he's selling the pain by hitting the mat? I told that. Sure. I've said that before. He sells with his body rather than his face.
That's why I like Murdoch. He does both.
I'd be interested to see what listeners think, Will. After watching these two matches, you know, which performers come out on top.
I think that they're going to come away with the same view that you and I did, that we already like what we like.
Well, let's say, I think that a lot of listeners won't have a horse, as in they haven't seen a lot of any of these guys, you know?
Oh, that's true. Well, I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, to me, I don't care. Like if more listeners like this match than the Murdoch match, I won't lose any sleep out over it. Like I said, usually when I watch wrestling, for a party of one, and that's me. So
look at these clubbing blows. It's another thing that Jack Briscoe did very well. The hip top
blows.
There's a hip toss and a knee to the back. Look at this.
I thought he was going to go for a nerve hold. I was really going to get... You know, a nerve hold is like an automatic minus 2 stars, right?
Oh, and a backbreaker. Look at that.
Look at that. Like, now, that should have been... That's like a finishing move, lifting backbreaker.
He went for the figure four.
Was he going for the figure four when he was killing that back?
Well, that's his finisher, Will. Well, look, he's still working over the back, though. Four moves in a row.
He should be hooking him in another Boston Crab, wouldn't you say? Look at those backbreakers. I mean, to me, that infuriates me about Flair, I guess Briscoe, Tito, ever. Man, if you're doing work, capitalize on that work. You know what I mean?
I guess he just saw... an opportunity. He's still working the back, though. I mean, he's consistently worked the back for 5-6 minutes now. Yes, he did go the figure four, and it was a mistake, and Dory didn't let him do it anyway. So,
yeah. Oh, so since it's a no DQ, that over the top doesn't get counted against him, right?
No DQ, and of course, under normal rules, that would have been Dory's defense right there. just dump him for the cheap DQ.
There you go. Is this known to be an hour long match?
Yes.
So the commercial breaks, we lose like 20 minutes.
I think we get about 35 to 40 minutes of the hour long match. So we get a chunk of it.
Yeah, we get enough. Yeah, if I were to do a best of 1970s set, you know, or rank the matches the best 1970s, I would have no problem like putting something like this on there, you know. Mm-hmm. This has been fun. This has been good.
Well, apparently, when you listen to this commentary, you get a lot of insights from Jack on why he did certain things. So maybe he'd tell you why he went for the figure four in that moment. Who knows?
Well, I'd be more concerned if the other two didn't challenge him on why, you know, why he was stupid in doing that.
It was a mistake.
Yeah, it was stupid. And now he's paying the price because he's outside and Dory's standing tall because he's from Texas. See what you did to me, Parv? You got me root for Dory Funk. But that's also because I can never root for someone from Oklahoma. Sorry. There you go. There's a nice forearm. See, Dory can be good when he wants to. It's just all those bad matches he has that ruins it for me.
Knee drop from the top there.
Yeah, I like Killer Khan's better. I think, you know what, though? I'm not even going to blame Dory for that. Because I think that the way that... And we saw it with Murdoch and O'Connor, their horrible wrestling gear. You know? I think Killer Khan just has better wrestling gear. So he looks like he's a madman, mad Mongolian. So when he comes down, it feels like a mad Mongolian's crashing down. Whereas this feels like just a skinny old man is coming down on you, you know?
Such prejudice, Will.
I'm hyping up the Mongolians. What's prejudice about that?
Neat backbreaker there.
Dude, it was a basic backbreaker. It was not neat.
Look at the way Jack is selling that back. See, look at this is good. Don't you think that's good selling by Jack Briscoe?
Yeah. Why isn't Dory Funk selling all that back work Jack did for 6 minutes? Now, and I give Ricky Steamboat a pass, and I'll give back Jack Briscoe a pass. Like you said, they're clearly selling for the cheap seats here.
Yeah. But see, I dig that. I like that style of setting.
Yeah, I'm fine with it, you know, but I could see how some people are turned off by that, you know. Now look at this. Ooh. Oh, man, I thought he was going to get him up in a surfboard.
I thought he was, too.
Okay. This is not nearly as cool as a surfboard. But if he's still working the back. And Briscoe is all like, man, it's Dory's fingers, but because of the bad video quality, it looks like Briscoe is foaming at the mouth. But it was just Dory's fingers. See, now if Briscoe was smart, he would hook Dory into that Boston Crab. But I don't know, would the Boston Crab also put too much pressure on Jack's back? What do you think?
I'm surprised that he hasn't gone for the legs more.
No, well, he did earlier. That's one of the things that I think is going to be a...
Oh, look at that.
Oh, okay, that was a little sloppy. I mean, I liked it, but it was a little, like, dangerous. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't a clean suplex. So I don't know if I should penalize the match or praise them for the dangerous nature of that suplex. But that was for 1972. That was pretty nasty, dropping a guy on his head like that. But I think that's the problem I have with like matches that go too long. I think they're exceptions to the rule. Like a match like Kurt Hennig versus Nick Bockwinkel, which went 60 minutes. The thing I loved about that match is that the complexion of the match changed. It was like almost like a play in three parts, right?
Look at the fire here, Will.
Oh, this is great. This is fine. But what I'm saying, though, is let me finish my thing. But when this right here, it's like, okay, well, now we're going to do, and you can make, and I'll be fair, Parv, you could make the same criticism about the Dick Murdoch match going 30 minutes because they know they're going long. They have to do certain things, right? Okay, now we're going to work our headlock section. Now we're going to work our body scissor section. We're going to work our head scissor section. We're going to work our arm lock section. You see where I'm coming from? It's just a symptom of the 70s style. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying, but unfortunately, like, it's not super high end in the sense, like, to me, Bockwinkel versus Hennig from 1986 was high end because it was like three distinct matches that actually built on each other. Do you see where I'm coming from? Whereas this doesn't, hold on, this does not feel, and to be fair, Murdoch, I think Murdoch, the Murdoch match had a little bit of advantages that it wasn't going so long, but this does not feel like it's building. It feels like it's a series of like segments, which is fine. A lot of the stuff has been really great, but you know, I think it's just, like I said, a symptom of the times. You got 60 minutes to fill, you're going to go to your tropes, or 30 minutes like we saw with Murdoch. I'm sure Murdoch and O'Connor had a bunch of matches and they did those same head scissor spots in St. Louis that they did in Japan, you know. So
I don't know. We saw him do the. He went to the headlock. He went to the arm. Then he went to the back, and now he's gone to the legs. So you know, you've tried different strategies over an hour long match. It makes sense, sure. Right?
Well, not necessarily. You know, to me, I think you go. Really, I think if you know you're going an hour, sure, you do those things. But to me, I'm saying in the logic of a wrestling match, no, you work over one until it gets you the victory, you know, where you keep working over the leg so that guy has to basically wrestle a match on one leg. You work over the arm so the guy can't punch you, or if he does, it's ineffective.
Look, you know? But have you noticed that in each section, so Dory has counted Jack by going to the same spot. So he counted the back work by his own back work. He counted the leg now with his own targeting of the leg. Have you seen this?
Sure.
And that has told a story to me.
I don't know. I saw it like, now we're going to do our leg section. Now we're going to do our back section. I didn't see it as like a natural move. To me, since you had Jack's back dead to rights for 10 minutes, he should have gone back to the back. You know what I mean? I don't mind Dory or Jack going to the legs, to be honest with you, because their finishers dictate that that if you damage their legs, their finisher's going to finish it off, right? Whether it's the figure four or the
spin and toe hold.
So I don't mind that at all. Like I said, Ben, I mean, I'm observing this more of like
butterfly suplex, then.
Of like a period in time where that kind of stuff happens, you know. But you know, like I said, I mean, to me, I think it's more a question of like going 60 minutes versus actually like dude, the stuff they're doing in this match is not bad at all. This is fun. This has been a fun match to watch, you know. Like I said, it really helps that I don't have to look at Dory's ugly face because the video quality doesn't allow for it. Like right there, Dory is staring right at the camera. You can't tell because his head's just kind of like a little bald blob.
Look, there's been a ton of high spots in this match as well.
Sure.
Which has been,
yeah.
Considering they've gone 60, there's been a lot of action.
Yeah. But high spots don't mean as much to me as they do to you. You know what I mean? They just don't. Like, I don't care if they do a bunch of high spots. You know, like that, there you go. Go back to the back. That's what I want to see from Jack Briscoe. Go back to the back. Hey, why didn't Dory sell that? Come on, Dory. You just broke your back in half. I really like Jack Briscoe's, like, lifting backbreakers. Not that boring one you marked out for earlier, but, like, those lifting ones. Oh, it's been a really good match, man. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy this.
Well, do you have an agenda, Will? That's my question. Are you
Of course, I have as much of an agenda as you do, Barf.
I don't have any agenda.
Oh, you're such a freaking liar. Just because you're British and you sound like you're respectable doesn't mean you're not a fucking liar, okay? Yeah, dude, for the people who don't know, Parv created a Dory Funk Jr. thread at Pro Wrestling Only called Learning to Love Dory. Not learning to evaluate Dory. Not learning to find out more about Dory. Learning to love Dory. Don't give me any shit about you and agendas, man. Come on.
If you go in and have a look at those reviews, where matches have sucked, they've said they've sucked.
Okay. And then when I've said that matches have sucked, you refuse to acknowledge my opinion or acknowledge that when matches were good, that it was usually because of Terry Funk's greatness, not Dory Funk's greatness.
I think you sat him short.
I don't, dude, I wasn't the only one who watched those matches. It was me. It was our good buddy Pete from Titans. It was my good buddy Childs Walker, who works for the Baltimore Sun. It was our good buddy from Exile on Main Street, Chris Zellner. Like, it wasn't just me who, like, thought Dory kind of sucked.
This whole segment has been very cool.
It's been fun. Kind of like that really hot finishing section, you know, where both guys kind of trade back and forth. Now, I wish... See, this kind of bothers me. Don't you think that since Dory just rammed his shoulder into the ring post, that should mean something?
Adrenaline.
No, you can't escape that adrenaline. That would be a section where somebody is working over the shoulder, doing shoulder thrusts, doing those, like, arm yanks over a shoulder, trying to destroy that shoulder. Like, it meant nothing. Having said that, you know, I mean, it's not the worst wrestling violation in the world, but you can't sit there and say that wasn't bad psychology. Or that
look at the shots, Will. As you're criticizing this elbow, you're seeing some tremendous.
It was fine. I think that you're incapable of being impartial here.
Ridiculous.
Look, Professor. Okay, that was not a very good brain buster. Was that a suplex or a brain buster?
Looked like a brain buster to me.
What did you think of that brain buster? Did you like it?
No, not the. Now, Jack isn't the best execution guy. I'll give you that.
And execution doesn't always matter. I mean, okay. So there you go. So he's going back to the back. I like it. You know?
But what do you think of this abdominal stretch?
He's not hooking the leg, as Gorilla Monsoon would say. You got to hook that foot. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? There you go. Nice little pin. Nice little, I think Inoki calls that, what, the Cobra pin? Like where you, like the abdominal stretch pin? So, no, this has been fun. I'm just saying there are flaws. There are clear flaws in the match that I have to point out because Parv would refuse to point them out. And I will say this, Parv, I will give you credit as we near the end of this match.
Mm-hmm.
You got me to sit down and watch a 40-minute Dory Funk Jr. match. Kudos for you, sir.
Is that it? I think the time limit's expired, Will. They're handing Dory the belt.
Oh, man. It's a bummer. You know. So, I don't know. So, I really like this match. Like you said, it's a little bit different from the... I'm sure you liked it a lot more than you liked Murdoch O'Connor, right?
Like Absolutely.
Whereas, to me, it was worked in two different crowds. I think Murdoch O'Connor had the better psychology, had the better build. This had definitely more action. Definitely had more action in it. More big spots, more big high spots, which you're a big fan of. So, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, why is he shaking his hand? I thought they were mortal enemies.
Because Jack Briscoe's a that good a guy, basically.
No, I thought they were mortal enemies. Why is he shaking his hand?
Because Jack is a very nice guy.
Shut up!
It was like a sporting... it was a different era, Will. They were all about sporting contests, you know?
All right, whatever. But anyway, I enjoyed it. I thought the commercials hurt, just like any other TV match. Kind of hurt the flow of it. I thought the sections were well done, but I thought it was a match of sections, not a match that actually built. What about you, Parf?
Yeah, well, I liked it a lot more than you, Will. I liked it a lot more than the first match as well. I thought it was very good. I may have to give it a second look to see what it's like with the commentary before
dropping
a final rating, but I would be anywhere between 4 and 4.5 for what we saw. There was 20 minutes cut out, so who knows what was in that 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But I thought and I didn't have a problem with the psychology because, we had got a very long section focusing on the back of both guys, and the psychology of the match was that Dory was going to counter anything Jack did by going to the same body parts that Jack did. So it kind of told a story in that way, you know?
Maybe, yeah. I guess I can see that story, you know, but it wasn't consistent throughout. Like, it wasn't every time. It was like two big sections. First the back section and then the leg section, but it wasn't like arm for arm, you know, back for back. Like, it wasn't throughout the entire thing that way. Like I said, I think they did the same thing Murdoch did too. You know, Murdoch and O'Connor did their little touring spots early on, and I think Jack and Dory did the same thing. And but there was definitely a lot more action in that second match. So I would say, I want to give an example. Shinya Hashimoto and Steven Regal had, and I say Steven Regal, I mean William Regal, had two matches in New Japan in the 90s. One was very action-filled, very stiff, one very back and forth. And one was more of a chess match where it had a lot of cool, subtle moments in the match. And depending on what you prefer, you would like one match or the other more than the other. And so I think that's what you'd have here, depending on what you prefer. It didn't change my mind on Dory Funk Jr. He was completely fine in this match. It was fun. I really enjoyed seeing Jack Briscoe. I thought the match was really good. But, you know, the first match, I thought had some cool things in it too. And, both matches just kind of were great 70s matches. If I did a best of 70s collection, I would include both matches for my tastes.
Yeah, well, I'd like to know what the listeners think of both matches. It'd be fun to see people break them down.
Yeah, and full disclosure, I don't care what anyone thinks. There you go. So, anyway, Parv, I think I had fun doing this with you. I think we need to do this more with guys we both like. Let's do Flair. Let's do a Flair match sometime. What do you think?
Yeah, why not? Let's do it.
We'll do Flair. We'll do Backlund. Well, you do enough Backlund with the Titans. So, what else can we expect to hear from you, Parv? Hey, hold on. When are we doing where the big boys play? Great American Bash 92.
That's a little while. We have Wrestle War coming up probably this weekend.
Wrestle War 92?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what about the Titans? What else you got?
Well, the Titans just dropped to the Bruce Starr, Kevin Sullivan interview, and we just wrapped up on 1981. So we're heading into the start of 1982 now for the rest of this. But we're probably not going to get to that for a while because we've just released two shows. So there's been a bit of a Titans glut recently.
Okay, well, and everybody who knows that we do the reaction shows, join us Sunday. We're going to do Battleground, you know, the reaction for Battleground, Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins. And we'll see who makes it out of that show alive. So everybody who's there, I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank Par for joining me tonight, watching these two classic matches from the 70s. And we'll talk to you later.
A game of chess is like a sword fight. You must think first, right? Before you move.
Tone style is immensely strong and immune to nearly any weapon. When it's properly used, it's almost invincible.